You're listening to a podcast from Victory. A leader's folly is trusting his own wisdom. Know more about trusting God's wisdom in week 4 of Rise and Fall.
Magandang umaga po sa inyong lahat. Welcome to our 11 a.m. service. We are on the fourth installment of our series titled Rise and Fall. And the theme of this series is really about leadership. So this is what this series is all about. And our hope and our goal is that through this series, we will get a picture of what a leader that is worth following so that personally, we will begin to aspire to become leaders that are worth following. So yun po yung goal natin, no? And the way we approach this series is we're looking at some Old Testament kings of Israel and learning from their leadership, some of their accomplishments, as well as their mistakes. Okay, so how many of you would agree that sometimes, if not most of the time, our mistakes can teach us and teach us well? Diba? That you don't want to repeat that mistake again because you've learned your lesson. So today, we're going to look at the leadership, and not just the leadership, but the life of Solomon, King Solomon. And I want us to understand that the way we live our lives personally will always have an impact to whatever calling or whatever we do in life, whatever station. In other words, our role as leaders and the way we live our personal lives, they can never be separated. Okay, they are always intertwined. So we're going to look at the life and the leadership of Solomon, and we're going to read a couple of verses because I wanted the scriptures to really give us a picture and speak for itself who is Solomon, okay, and how he lived his life and how he led Israel. Okay, so let's all read the Word of God together and let's give reverence to it. I will be reading from 1 Kings chapter 2, and there will be a couple of verses that I'm going to read. I will show us journey through how Solomon rose to leadership, where he fell, and the conclusion of all his life and leadership. 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 1 to 4. Why don't we read this? Ready to go? When David's time to die drew near, he commanded Solomon his son, saying, I am about to go the way of all the earth. Be strong and show yourself a man, and keep the charge of the Lord your God, walking in his ways and keeping his statutes, his commandments, his rules, and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that you may prosper in all that you do, wherever you turn. Verse 4, that the Lord may establish his word that he spoke concerning me, saying, if your sons pay close attention to their way, to walk before me in faithfulness with all their heart and with all their soul, you shall not lack a man on the throne of Israel. Let's pray for a while. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord, for your word. Lord, we believe that your word is true. Your word is faithful. Lord, speak to us today. Give us ears to hear what you want to say to us and eyes to see what you want to show us, Lord. May we, Lord God, understand and have the discerning heart, Lord God, to understand the leadership principles that we can learn here today and be ourselves, Lord God, a leader that is worth following, Lord God, for your glory. Lord, bless these people. I thank you that every single one of them, Lord, you know, you've seen, and you've purposed them to be here. So, Lord, let your word accomplish its purpose as it's being preached. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. Let me just throw this question at us and chew it for a while. We'll try to understand, in light of God's word, the answer to this question. Is it possible, okay, is it possible to have all the wisdom, to have all the understanding, to be so learned as a person, and yet still make bad choices or foolish choices? Is it possible to have all the wealth and riches, all of your needs are met, okay? There's not much need. You have everything, even what you want, and still feel empty and void within? How many of you here would agree with me that it's easy to know what is right, but to do what you know is right is another story? It comes with a challenge. It comes with difficulty. Tama ba? Do you agree? I'm sure all of us, okay, if not most of us, have experienced such thing, no? That alam na natin kung ano yung dapat natin gawin, eh. Alam na natin kung anong tama, pero minsan may challenge. Minsan talagang nahihirapan tayo. There is fear, there is hesitation. And the story of King Solomon's life, okay, we find that to be true in him. I want us to go ahead and look at the story of how he rose to leadership. Okay, and after that, we're going to look at where he fell. So I'd like to read in 1 Kings chapter 3, just the next chapter of what we've read. Now, what we've read a while ago, David, towards the end of his life, he gave a charge to Solomon. And you know, the words of a dying man are very important words. They are choice words. They are words coming from years and lifelong experience of heartaches and successes. So the words that was given to Solomon by his father, David, was really important. There are words of not only encouragement, but even warnings. David warned Solomon how he should live his life, how he should lead Israel. And we see that Solomon really started out good as a king. Okay, he started out excellently. And in chapter 3, we find that in verse 5 to 10, at Gibeon, verse 5, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I shall give you." Sino sa inyo, gusto mo tanongin ni Lord yan sa'yo? Sa buhay mo. Ask, what shall I give you? Woohoo! But how many of you know, this is a very serious question. This is not some question. How talaga, Lord? Gusto ko ng bagong laptop? Gusto ko ng bagong kotse? How many of you know that this is a question you will not just carelessly answer? If you are given this 100 billion peso question, peso kasi Pilipino tayo eh, guys. You would really think it through. You will not carelessly answer this. And I believe Solomon, okay, have been thinking this through, although this was asked to him in a dream, okay, I believe that when he was charged to lead the people of God, Israel, he was really thinking this through in his heart. Ano bang gagawin ko? Paano ko ililid itong mga taong to? Ano bang kailangan ko para maging successful ako? He have already meditated this, okay? And so in his dream, he answered the Lord. Verse 6, and Solomon said, "You have shown great and steadfast love to your servant David, my father, and you have kept for him his great and steadfast love, and have given him a son to sit on his throne this day." I'm taking some of the key points here in this particular verse, no? But what we find here that really Solomon, when he started out, okay, he had enough understanding to acknowledge God first. Hindi niya muna sinagot yung question. Inacknowledge niya muna yung faithfulness ni God sa tatay niya. And how the Lord was faithful to David and to Israel. So, talagang marunong si Solomon, okay? May potential maging leader. Di ba? Nag-iisip. Hindi lang basta-basta sumagot na, Lord, itong gusto ko. Okay, so, and then verse 9, "Give your servant therefore an understanding mind to govern your people, that I may discern between good and evil, for who is able to govern this your great people?" Oh, alam mo ang hiningi niya, surprisingly, right? Hindi doon sa mga bagay na hihingi natin kung tayo yung tatanungin. Right? So, pero ang hiningi niya is wisdom and understanding to govern God's people. Wow, talagang marunong si Solomon. Nag-iisip talaga. May potential maging king si Solomon. Right? So Solomon asked God for wisdom and understanding to lead God's people. He acknowledged, he humbled himself. Okay, in the previous verse, he said, "I am just a boy. I don't know how to lead. I don't know how to govern. Lord, you have to give me wisdom and understanding." Verse 10, "It pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this." Whoa, natuwa si Lord. Sobrang tuwa ni Lord. Okay, Solomon pleased God with what he asked. In fact, listen to this, God was so pleased with Solomon na pati yung hindi niya hiningi, binigay ni God. Sabi ni God, "Dahil yan ang hiningi mo, ito ang ibibigay ko." Hindi lang yan, pati wealth, pati riches, pati, you know, greatness. So that there will no one be like you ever before and after. Whoa. Mag-iisa ka lang, magiging unique ka. Wala kang maging katulad. Grabe si Lord pag natuwa, eh, no? Parang, Lord, matuwa ka naman sa akin. Diba? Parang iba pala si Lord pag natuwa siya. So God was so pleased with Solomon. Not only that he gave Solomon what he did not ask. In fact, God appeared to him a second time. Nag-appear pa ulit si God kay Solomon. And we find that in chapter 9, no? And in verse 2 to 9, and I want to encourage you to personally take some time to read the scriptures. Okay, hopefully you're not just here, all right, that's good, that's a great message, I'm encouraging you, go home. But really take some time to open your Bible. Okay, so God appeared to him a second time, and in that instance, God affirmed his promise to David that he will accomplish it through Solomon, but with a condition. Okay, sabi ni Lord, if you walk before me, if you stay faithful, if you will have integrity of heart, just like your father, I will establish your throne forever. Yun ang sabi ni Lord. But at the same time, in this instance when he appeared, he also reminded Solomon and warned him. Sabi ni God, okay, in verse 6, sabi niya, but if you turn aside from me, okay, if you follow other gods, if you worship them, if you will not obey all my commands and statutes, sabi ni Lord, everything that you have built will be destroyed. Whoa. And you know what? These very words that God warned Solomon, David already spoke in it. He warned Solomon already to be careful to obey God, to not turn from God. Now, while David, he wasn't a perfect king, okay, he was a great king, yet he made a mistake, yet he stayed faithful in his heart to God. And really, God was looking at the heart of David. And all of these leaders, really God was looking at their heart. It's all about a heart issue. While Solomon was the first king of Israel, remembered as such, David was the greatest king of Israel. He was remembered as the greatest king. Yet Solomon, okay, Solomon was the wisest, not just king, but according to the Bible, the wisest man who ever lived. Wow. What a description of Solomon. Okay? But what brought about the crisis in Solomon's life? Something happened to Solomon. And I say crisis because at the end of his life, at the end of his leadership, the kingdom was divided. And not only that, the nation of Israel fell into apostasy over and over again. In other words, nagbabackslide sila, gumagawa sila ng evil, and then magre-repent sila, babalik sila kay Lord, and then magbabackslide dun sila, and for years until they were brought to exile. Ganun na naging pattern. This is right after the leadership of Solomon. Interesting, isn't it? What brought about this crisis when he started out good? Now, I want us to understand that even though Solomon, and here's the interesting thing, Solomon asked God for only one thing. Only one thing. You know what that is, right? Wisdom, understanding. That's all he asked. He asked God for one thing, and yet he did so many things that are contrary to what God said. Contrary to what God has commanded him. In fact, all of those commands, they were not new commands. They were a command written in the book of Moses, in the law of Moses, and you find it in Deuteronomy 17. It wasn't a new command. So he asked for one thing, and yet he did many things that are contrary to the will of God. Let's look at the story of how Solomon, how his heart turned away. And again, really, it's all about a heart issue. It's a heart issue. 1 Kings chapter 11. So we're going forward now in the story. The way we are approaching this is looking at the character of the story. And this is about Solomon. I'd like to read verse 1 to 6. I'm talking now about how he fell short before God. Verse 1, now King Solomon loved many foreign women, along with the daughter of Pharaoh, Moabite, Ammonite, Edomite, Shittimite, Sidonian, and Hittite women, from the nations concerning which the Lord had said to the people of Israel, you shall not enter into marriage with them, neither shall they with you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clung to this in love, right? He clung to this, all of these women in love. He had 700 wives who were princesses, in other words, born of noble birth, royalty, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. For when Solomon was old, his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not wholly true to the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. For Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Sidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. So Solomon did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, and did not wholly follow the Lord as David, his father, had done. You know, as great as the wisdom of Solomon is, okay, in governing people, the way he lived his life, the way he lived his life is a picture of an excessive foolishness. It's a picture of excessive foolishness. So excessive, in fact, that really, if you count how long Solomon lived, hindi actually siya umabot ng 60 years old. Sobrang excess ng buhay niya. Right? So, he reigned only 40 years. Right? And he was anointed as king at a very young age. And what's interesting, in these 6 verses, in just 3 of those verses, 5 times the heart was mentioned. 5 times. In just 3 verses, the heart was mentioned. Something happened to Solomon's heart. He had a change of heart. Unfortunately, not for the good, okay, but for evil, okay, for away from God. So where did Solomon fail despite his wisdom, despite all of the honor, the grandeur, and the riches? Okay, what can we learn from his life and his leadership as a person and as a leader? Well, there are 3 things that we can look at, and these 3 actually are basic. Okay, and they can happen to us. They are real to us as well. Don't you ever say that, you know, si Solomon yan eh, okay? That's not going to happen to me. No. Si David yan. Where he fell was actually basics in our life. Basics in our heart. So the first thing I want to look at is conviction. Okay, so he fell, despite all of Solomon's wisdom, he lacked the conviction to do what was right. He lacked the conviction. You know, in his time, he achieved so much peace. So much peace. Eh, hindi ka ba nga makapag-peace? Lahat ng mga royalty, asawa mo. Di ba? Pamilya, okay? One family lang. He had so much peace. Now, when God spoke to Solomon, God promised him peace. In fact, God said, there will be peace throughout your reign and prosperity. Okay? Will ni God na magkaroon ng peace sa time ni Solomon. Do you agree? Kasi pre-namis niya eh. I will give you peace. In fact, there was no war during the time that he reigned. There was peace. But listen, the way he achieved this peace was not the way of the Lord. It is a way of compromise. He lacked the conviction to do what was right, to do it God's way. He had the understanding, he had the wisdom, but he does not have the conviction to stand for what is right. How many of you have experienced that? Gusto mong gawin yung tama, pero hindi mo magawa. Di ba? Parang napapakanta ka. So, how many of you are in a situation na talagang natatakot ka, gusto mo talaga gawin yung tama, kaso everyone is doing it, and so, you get into compromise. Natakot ka, your conviction is shaken, because it's almost like ikaw lang mag-isa. Hello? Something happened to his heart that he lacked the conviction to really trust and believe God that he will be faithful to his word. Yes, he achieved peace. He achieved what God said, prosperity. But he did it in a way that does not please God. In fact, verse 1 and 2, 1 Kings chapter 11. Now King Solomon loved many foreign women from the nations which the Lord had said, you shall not enter into marriage with them. And yet Solomon clung to these women. This is a no-no. This was supposed to be a no-no. You know, the lesson that we can learn here, it's good to know something. Hindi po pwede na wala tayong alam. Hello? It's not just how much we know, but how much we apply what we know. Does that make sense? And I put the word just there because it's not a choice. Okay lang walang alam, basta magandang gawa. Hindi rin po pwede. Importante may alam tayo. But what is really more important is that we apply what we know what is right. We have the conviction to do it. We have enough conviction to do it. You know what's surprising about Solomon in Ecclesiastes chapter 2 verse 10? Ecclesiastes, he wrote these lessons, no, that he learned. And this is what he said. Whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. I kept my heart from no pleasure. Wow! Lahat ng gusto niya at makukuha niya. Ibang klase. Solomon. Okay, so wala siyang pinipigil. Okay, hindi niya, kumbaga, dinideprive ang sarili niya. Lahat ng makita niya at gusto niya. Wow. He did not have the conviction to really use the wisdom that God has given him to choose what's right and what's wrong. And although he did this personally into his life, it affected his leadership. Secondly, where Solomon failed despite all of his wisdom and honor and riches is in the area of contentment. Not just the area of his conviction, but the area of his contentment. I mean, can you just imagine verse 3? He had 700 wives. 700 wives. Woohoo, talagang. What's wrong with one? Tawa kayo. Is one not enough? How many of you are married here? Can I see your hands? Come on now. Married. Let me see your hands. If you are married, okay? So, siguraduhan mo lang, lalo na husband, pag nandiyan asawa mo, taas mo yung kamay mo, okay? If you're married, can I see your hands? Come on, just lift up your hands. Stick your hand up. Okay, ang dami. Let me ask you this question. Is one not enough? Come on, huh? Just think about it. You know, there's a Mexican proverb that says, if you love many, you have loved none. But if you have loved one, you've loved everyone. You've loved them all. 1,000 wives? Sobrang siguro galing niya talaga. Talino, paano niya ginawa yun, you know? Parang nakakaloko. Okay? So, nakakabaliw. But, you know what? Despite the abundance, Solomon was not content. He wasn't content. For the record, 700 lang yung asawa, pinakasalan, 300 concubines. Who knows if there's more? Servants and all that. Okay, so, but not only with the wives, even with riches. You know, towards the end of Solomon's life, the people were so bitter at Solomon because he had so much hard labor among his people. Talagang sobra siya. He was a workaholic. So, Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 8, we find that Solomon was describing to himself, he says here, one person who has no other, either son or brother, yet there is no end to all his toil, and his eyes are never satisfied with riches. This is his personal confession. He was never satisfied. Despite all of the abundance, despite all of the understanding, can't get no satisfaction. Wow, talagang Rolling Stones. Yung iba sa inyo, hindi nyo na alam yun eh, no? Okay? Beatles lang alam nyo. Anyway, joke lang. So, contentment. And you know, really, this is an issue of the heart. And this is an issue that all of us will have to face. Conviction, all of us are going to have to face that. Contentment, all of us are going to have to face that. But let me ask you this, okay? And it's important that every one of us here really can find an answer to this question. How much is enough for you? How much is enough? You know, people get into scams. Sorry pa, wala akong pinapatamaan. People get into debts, serious debts. People are in misery and trouble in their lives because they just can't have satisfaction or contentment. Because they don't know the answer to the question, how much is enough? How much is enough? And I would encourage us to really answer that question in our life. Because if we can't answer that question, whoa, it's a scary thing. How much is enough for us? And you know, listen to this. That is a question that we ask to ourselves and not to God. Because there is no question about how much would God would want to bless you. There is no limit to the blessing of God. I mean, if you look at the word God, sobrang niyang generous, extravagant si God. This is not a question for God, this is a question for us. How much is enough for us? The lesson that we need to learn here is it's not just how much we have, but how content we are. Thirdly, where Solomon failed despite his great wisdom, his enormous wealth and riches, the honor that he has in his life, he failed in the area of commitment. Not just in conviction, not just in contentment, but in the area of commitment. He became unfaithful. He turned away from the Lord. He did something that he knew he was not supposed to do. Despite the warnings, despite the reminders, and again, there were so many times he was warned. So many times he was reminded. Despite that, he willfully chose to disobey God. Kasi alam niya to lahat eh. Alam niya. But there's not enough conviction. There's no satisfaction, contentment. And therefore, his commitment was gone. 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 6. So Solomon did what was evil in the sight of the Lord and did not wholly follow the Lord as David, his father, had done. Interesting, isn't it? David wasn't a perfect man. He committed adultery and murder all at the same time. And not just one person that he murdered. Okay, many other soldiers died with the husband of Bathsheba. And yet, David repented. And yet, David was remembered to be a man who is after God's heart. See, David was always running after the heart of God. That's one great thing about David. And you know, all of these areas, convictions, contentment, and commitment, they're all heart issues. They're all heart issues. Basic in the heart of man. They're all something that we were going to have to deal in our lives. Let me just quote a few verses that Solomon wrote as a lesson that he left everyone, the world. Proverbs 4:23. Above all else, and this is Solomon, he wrote this. Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Guard your heart, because it is the wellspring of life. Every leader should guard their heart. In fact, every person, for that matter, who desires to do the will of God, should guard their heart, because it is the wellspring of life. You know, listen, church, there are many things in this world that can catch your attention. Many, like advertising, you know, or whatever is new out there in the market. There are many things that can catch your attention. But there will be things or whatever that will capture your heart. And whatever captures your heart, that's the very thing that will consume you. You know, my prayer is that when it comes to our heart, may it be that Jesus will truly and fully capture it. That no one else would capture it, but only He who died for us, only He who loved us and forgives us, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Because what will capture our hearts is what will consume our lives. Solomon, again, at the end of his life, gave this conclusion to remind us all, to warn us all. He was warned, now we are warned. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13. And this is what, towards the last verse of this book, the last sentence, all of his learning. And you know, it's funny because, sabi ni Solomon, meaningless, meaningless. Talagang, grabe na wala yung sense of purpose niya. No? And then he said this, the end of the matter, all has been heard. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Fear God, keep His commandments, because this is the whole duty of man. Ito yung kabuuan talaga ng purpose at pagkatao natin. Fear God, keep His commands. And again, these are heart issues. It's not about being religious that we fear God. It's not about doing moralistic good works. No, it's an issue of the heart. When there is the fear of the Lord there, we begin to consider our convictions. We begin to consider what will satisfy us. We will look at our commitment. It's important that the fear of God will stay in the heart of a leader. Every one of us. And to obey His will. Because His will for us really is for our own good. You know, Solomon, not a single one of us here are probably close to how wise and learned he is, no? Not a single one. Kasi sabi nga, wala kang maging katulad, you know, before you or after you. Bukod tangi lang talaga si Solomon, no? And none of us will ever come close. But here's the question. If this is the case of Solomon, and this is what happened to him, what is our hope? How about us? San tayo pupulutin? There is no hope apart from full dependence on God. Apart from really trusting and putting our faith in God. Whether that be for our nation, or that be for our family, or that be for our business, that is not where we get true hope. It's only in God. That is where we need to align our hearts to the will of God, to have the fear of God in our hearts, and the commitment to obey God in all of His ways. And here's a lesson I want us to learn personally and as a leader. You know, effective leadership can be nullified by ineffective personal life. No matter how you think you're successful and effective you are, if you are ineffective in your personal convictions, in your contentment, and in your commitment, in your personal life, the way you live your life, in the end, it's going to make you ineffective. It will not matter how effective you think you are. Because, like I've said, our station, our role in life, leadership, whatever that is, and our personal life, the way we live our life before God, they come together. They cannot be separated. Let me close with this verse and I will pray. Proverbs 19:23. The fear of the Lord leads to life, and whoever has it rests satisfied. He will not be visited by harm. Let me read that again. The fear of the Lord leads to life, and whoever has it rest satisfied and will not be visited by harm. Let me pray. Lord, thank you for your grace. Thank you, Lord, that even us personally, despite of all our shortcomings, despite of all our bad decisions, foolish mistakes, Lord, the way we live our personal lives, Lord God, sometimes we think we're okay here in the area of our work, in the area of our studies, but personally, in our hearts, we forget to put a check. Lord, I thank you because in all of these things that has been said, Lord, at the end of it, Lord, you will prove faithful. You will prove merciful. That's what we want to understand, Lord, today. Yes, we've made mistakes. Yes, we compromise in our convictions. Yes, sometimes we long for something, covet, don't have that contentment. But Lord, I thank you because you are a God who forgives. You are a God who mercifully restores, God. And while everyone here are in an attitude of prayer, your heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I just want to minister to you today and speak to you today. I'm not going to ask you to lift up your hands, but you know who you are. And let me just say this. Maybe you're one who has plenty, everything is doing well, business is, you know, earning, work, promotion, all that, family is great. You had a great vacation. Everything is okay, so it seems. But in the deepest of your heart, in your heart of hearts, where is it before God? Where is your heart before God? Is it fully His? Does it fully belong to Him? Is there fear of Him that you begin to consider all that you have in you? Maybe you're one who has been consumed with things that you want to accomplish, putting more time here, putting more time there. This thing needs to be done. But let me bring you back to your personal life, your personal relationship with God. Where are you in that? Because really, that is so important. And if you know that there's some things that you've compromised yourself with, some things that have turned your heart away, whether it's something or someone, whatever that is, and it's clearly not the Lord, I pray for you that you will repent. I pray for you that you will come out from there. I pray for you that you will get your act together, humble yourself before God, and ask the Lord to restore you, to forgive you. And I pray for you so wherever your heart is right now, it will be restored to God. That you will find genuine contentment in God. Genuine joy. That if you search your heart, you can fully, with all conviction, say, your heart fully belongs to God. And if not, I pray for you. I pray for you that you will consider, that you will think this through. Because God wants to capture your heart. He wants to capture you in your heart of hearts. Lord, I pray for your people that you will, Lord, without any condemnation, Lord, but simply being humble and acknowledging, Lord, that in our deepest of hearts, it's you that we really want, Lord. Sometimes We want other things. But Lord, help us. May our heart, God, be always for you. So that we in turn can lead others to you. Father, thank you. Because, Lord, there is no knowing what you can do to every person whose heart fully belongs to you. There's no knowing, God. All the goodness, all the things that you can do to any man or woman whose heart fully belongs to you. Lord, let your good, pleasing, and perfect will be done. Lord, thank you. Now bless your people today, Lord. Even as they go about their way, Lord, live their lives, Lord, I just pray that you will be with them. I pray that you will strengthen their hearts and their soul. I pray that they will be committed, Lord God, and not fall short, Lord God. And if they do, Lord, fall short and make a foolish decision, Lord, I pray that their hearts will not turn away, but instead will turn to you all the more, Lord God. That they will hold on to you and cling to you, Lord God. Cling to you, Lord, and not to anything else, Lord. Father, I bless them. Lord, even as we, as a people, Lord, would choose, Lord, this next few days, Lord God, who will lead this nation? Who will lead us, Lord God, in terms of government, Lord? Give us understanding of your purpose. Lord, that we, as we exercise this, Lord God, we ourselves also, Lord, will be able to say we are worth following because we have God in us. Lord, thank you. Bless this nation and bless your people. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace even this very week. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.